What is our Heavenly Father doing here in chapter 65 of his prophet Isaiah? What is he speaking to us, and what's going on here? I suppose God is a bit like a man who's trying to describe an amusement park to someone who's never been to one, to someone who's never even seen a picture of one. 2 weeks ago, on the first Sunday of Advent, we heard the prophet Isaiah calling out to God with this prayer of deep longing. Isaiah cried out, "O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Well, here, one chapter later, we have God's response to Isaiah. God is speaking through Isaiah to explain what he's going to do, but God is speaking to a people who have forgotten what he's like. For generations, God's people have turned their back on him. They don't know anything about him. They don't know his heart. They don't know his priorities. They don't know his purposes. And so God is like a man who's trying to describe something, something important, something extraordinary to a people who have lost their ability to imagine God-sized dreams. He's speaking to a people who have lost their ability to hope with the kind of hope that comes from believing that there is a God who not only makes promises, but who also keeps them. How would you describe an amusement park to someone who's never seen one before, to someone who's never been to one? When we were kids, I was probably about 5 or 6, my mother loaded up my brothers and me into the family station wagon and drove us down to Florida to Walt Disney World. How my mother managed to pull this off, I do not know, but she booked us a room in the Contemporary Resort. And if you're not familiar with that hotel, it's a hotel that the monorail goes through. Now, just that room in that hotel must have cost someone a fortune. I don't know who paid for it. I don't know if my mother paid for it or my father paid for it, if my grandparents paid for it, but it cost someone a mint for us to stay there in that hotel. We took this trip down to Florida during a very difficult season in the life of my family, and without going into details, I can tell you this. Looking back now, I realize that Disney World, because we went during that very difficult time in our family's life, it became, for me, this otherworldly place, this place that I long to escape to anytime life got difficult or painful or challenging. 2 weeks ago, I wondered out loud if you had ever prayed the sort of prayer that Isaiah prayed. I wondered if you'd ever prayed the sort of, "Lord, would you rend the heavens and come down here and fix this mess" kind of prayer. Well, today, God's response to that prayer here in chapter 65, it reminds me of a different sort of prayer that we might pray. Not, "O Lord, would you rend the heavens and come down," but, "O Lord, would you take me, deliver me out of this place. Oh Lord, that you would grant me an escape from the pain and the challenges of this world and take me instead to that place where the wolf and the lamb lie down together." I wonder if you've ever prayed a prayer like that before. An, "Oh Lord, would you take me away from here" kind of prayer. An, "Oh Lord, if I can only get back to Disney World" kind of prayer. There's an aspect of that prayer that's holy. Because that prayer can arise from a place in us, deep down inside, a place that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that when God speaks through his prophet Isaiah, we can take him at his word. We can believe him when he says to us, "For behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." That is, "I will come and take you away from this world of its sickness and sorrows and sadness. I will take you to that place where the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. I will take you to that place where they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain," says the Lord. There can be a kind of holy longing for that place. An appropriate longing for that place. That place where we will dwell fully in the presence of God and all of our tears will be some long-forgotten memory. But friends, there are times when our holy longing for that distant shore, it can slide down into something different. Times when we become acutely aware that we still live in a world where wolves devour lambs and where lions still hunt their prey. We live in a world where the elderly are taken advantage of by sick and selfish fraudsters. We live in a world where children are shuffled from town to town in traffic like slaves. When the darkness of our world confronts us, our holy longing for heaven, it can slide down into an unholy escapism. We want out. We want to be done with this world. We want to throw in the towel on this life. Maybe some of you have been there. Oh, Lord, that you would take me away from this place. Oh, Lord, that you would grant me the grace to escape this world and leave it all behind. Friends, our Lord knows full well what it's like to have the grime of this world cling to you like some grease you can't clean off, no matter how hard you scrub or scrape. Our God knows what it's like to wish for an escape. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He has felt that downward pull on our holy hope for heaven and redemption. And so God gives us something else that we need. He gives us a promise for this life, a promise for this world. Sometime after that trip to Disney World, my mother took us to another amusement park, and even while that impression of that visit to Disney World was still very clear in my mind, she took us out to the county fair. And I know I've said it before, but my mother loved the county fair. And as we were making that half-hour drive out into the country, she began to describe what was in store for us, and in my little mind, I began to picture what it was like, patterning it after that visit to Walt Disney World. But when we arrived, it didn't take long to figure out that the county fair, though an amusement park, is no Disney World. It was gritty and noisy and chaotic. And to tell you the truth, it was a little bit scary. But it was also fun. My mom took us back there year after year, and somewhere along the way, I don't know when, the county fair became for me a kind of symbol for her. It became an annual reminder of her unquenchable determination to share her joy with her children. She would pluck us out of the trials of our schoolwork and drive us to the fairgrounds. She would lead us around the midway, buying us tickets for as many rides as we could stand, but she would steer us clear of all the games which she said were rigged. She'd load us up with corn dogs and French fries and drag us through the various buildings to show us the things that were important to her. All the animals, the artwork done by the children, the 4-H competitions. Now, I'll confess, I did still pine for Disney World, as I do for this to this day. But I've learned to love the county fair and all of the emotions of joy that it invokes because it reminds me of her. Just as I've learned to treasure those moments, I pray you've had them, when you can feel the Lord walking near, taking you by the hand around the chaotic midway of this life. Sometimes he draws close in our worship. Sometimes it's when you're with a small group gathered around the Word of God. Sometimes it's in the quiet when you're saying your own prayers behind a closed door. Sometimes it's when you're out trying to bring his light out into the world. But those moments where you sense, oh yes, the Lord is walking with me here in this chaotic carnival of life. Here in Isaiah 65, God is extending to us a promise of Disney World, a new heaven and a new earth, but he's also making promises for this earthly life, the county fair. And he extends a promise to the people of Isaiah's day. Listen again to what he said in verse 22. A prayer for this life. He said, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, if you didn't know any better, that might not sound like much of a promise. That the people of Isaiah's day would be able to build and live in their own houses, that they would be able to plant and eat their own food. What kind of promise is that? But God is speaking to his people in a time when they are barely eking out an existence as a defeated people. They are living under the oppression of their sworn enemies. And so this, my friends, is an enormous promise. It reminds me of those battle-scarred veterans who came back from World War II wanting nothing more than a little house on a quiet street with a white picket fence and a yard that you can mow every Saturday. That little dream of suburban life, that might not sound like much of an aspiration to the person who has never experienced the horrors of war. But for the veteran, this promise of God, it would be a foretaste of heaven. It would be a welcome trip to the county fair. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. No, for like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. That would be some great news. Now, we aren't living under the same circumstances as the people in Isaiah's day. And yet many of you know what it's like to pine for heaven with such intensity, to long to escape from this broken world to the extent that you have felt like giving up. Friends, if you're in one of those seasons right now, please understand that God is extending to you both the promise of Disney World, the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. But he's also promising you the county fair. He's promising that whatever you are going through right now, he will carry you through it to something better on the other side. Listen again to his promises for this life. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear them. Friends, that's a message for you. That's a promise for this life. Whatever you are going through now, God will carry you through it. And furthermore, just as the Father sent his Son Jesus into this world to bring light, the light of God, into our darkness, God has brought you into this world for a purpose. Friends, he has called you to himself that he might share these promises with you. And then he is sending you out to bear the light of Christ, so that through you he will draw in those who are in darkness into his light, those who know nothing of his promises, those who know nothing of the joys of walking with him in the county fair, those who know nothing of the hope of that great day when the wolf and the lamb will graze together and the lion will eat straw. God's a bit like a man who's describing an amusement park to someone who's never seen one, to someone who's never been to one before. He's calling out through his prophet Isaiah to a people who have forgotten him, who have forgotten how to hope in him, who have forgotten how to trust in him. But you, people of God, you have heard his promises, promises for this life and promises for that future day. And your Father wants you to receive these promises, to be strengthened by them, and then to take these promises out into the world that needs to hear the good news that there is a God who provides strength for today and hope for tomorrow. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. Friends, that promise is for you. May God grant you the grace to receive it and then to take it out into a world that needs it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises through your prophet Isaiah. Promises for a future when the lamb and the wolf will lie down together, but a promise for today. That no matter what we walk through, no matter what we endure, you are with us and that you will indeed carry us through it to the other side. Grant us the grace to receive these promises, for them to be planted in our hearts, and then to take the joy, the hope, the peace that comes from these promises out into this world which so desperately needs them. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.